Celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, celebrate and rejoice the fact that Middlesbrough are the North East's top team. Isn't that right, Rob Nichols?
It certainly is.
And who have you actually got within the studio for edition 568, podcast companion to Crystal Palace? Because you are it's a twin spearhead. It's
absolutely
a threesome formation in all sorts of ways. Introductions, please, Rob.
Go on then, Joe.
Well, yeah, Joe Nicholson here.
Exactly. And Reverend Marie Edwards.
It is, yeah.
For a moment I thought, has Rob forgotten who he's working with?
No. In their own words.
Exactly. Splendid stuff. So, partey is the official line. A win against Sunderland. All great from that sort of point of view.
Absolutely.
The start of the thing against Stoke City was all right from that. Pleasing times.
A good solid start from those three games, and now a chance to sort of kick on and have our first home win.
Mm. Joe, you were saying something before the podcast launched today, which I thought was quite fascinating, really. It's the first match Middlesbrough really expected to win now.
Yeah, I think it is almost. They kind of almost going as the favourites, which I think will provide a different test. The first three games, obviously Stoke, we weren't quite sure what to expect the first game, and then we've had two away games. So the first game that we're kind of favourites, so that, I think, bring its own pressures. The fact that we may have more of the ball, the pressure will be on us to maybe create some more chances, but I think it's definitely another chance to pick up some points early in the season, which is what we need.
Marie, you were devastated when you realised that the Edwards family were going to be on holiday when the Sunderland game was taking place. But then you thought, it's okay, it was away.
Away match, yes, so I was relieved.
Relief,
yes, so that was fab.
Still use the season thing for that. What's the sense in the Edwards household now that you... I mean, this is the highest you've been, in fact, since we started doing these podcasts.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really is. And I mean, it's great for us as a family, because we love going all together. I'm a bit devastated because I'm away with my son this weekend, so I will miss the game. But that's all right. We've given the tickets out, so they'll be well used. But no, they're all looking forward to going. And it's just exciting stuff. And the result, obviously, against Sunderland was really fab, even though we were on a coach. It's good to hear it.
Rob, presumably you were at the Stadium of Light.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. I thought it was fantastic to put one over on Sunderland. Mm. We made a great start to that game. It was fantastic. Fantastic. Well, both goals were really, really good for different ways, weren't they? A superb goal, individual goal, really, by Stuani. And then the second one he nicks in after a great move. And one of the players who was instrumental in that was Adam Forshaw, who might not have even been playing at all if it hadn't been for Martin Daroon getting injured in the first game against Stoke. And now we've got the interesting situation of players being back fit and available again. Martin Daroon, George Friend, Victor Valdes in goal, so he's got some selection pauses tomorrow, and obviously also Callum Chambers, who we brought in at the very last minute in the transfer window.
Ray Parler, Paul Merson, just two players from Highbury that have actually done quite well, and then in the United Arab Emirates, and now there's another one who's on loan.
Yeah, he was playing. Did you watch him, Joe, this week? He played for the under-21s,
didn't he? I didn't watch him, no, but obviously they won 6-1, so pretty convincingly. So good for him to get. I think he played 90 minutes, so good for him to get that under his belt.
And a wise decision to bring on board Callum Chambers. He strikes me as being almost a younger version of Jonathan Woodgate, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Obviously, player of great potential. Was he £16 million buy for, from Southampton by Arsenal? So... We wanted having another centre back, didn't we? I think he's been bought as centre back first, right back second, but we'll see what happens. There's a lot of players to choose between in those positions for Saturday.
I think the fact that he's versatile, I think, gives you a lot of options. I mean, we saw in the Fulham game that you can lose two players in one position in one game.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to mention that one.
Yeah.
It started so well. I thought it was going to be a fairly straightforward scenario. And then, of course, it waited until the extra period of time went in. But then again, concentrate on the league.
I don't think either team had the heart and soul in that game. Of course, Fulham rested nine players, didn't they? Because they're going very well in the championship, so yeah, let's not talk about it.
Exactly, it's EFL. It doesn't even sound sort of like a proper sort of competition, really, from that point of view. So we motor on from that point of view. In the programme today, we'll be looking at some of the fabulous input from Neil Garrett, Master Thomas Barkley. We have got Marie's favourite Holmes and the Riverside Thriller, which will take a mini segment, perhaps, just sort of tease through from that basis. But we'd be remiss in saying it was farewell to Mr. Adoma.
Yeah, absolutely. Two wingers went out. I think that was always the...
Adam Reach, of course.
Adam Reach, that's right. I got asked, you know, you get asked to fill out these sort of think forms from different... The Observer contacted me earlier and said about players going out from the transfer window and players coming in. And I said, well, no one's gone out yet, because we did the business in exactly the opposite way to Crystal Palace, which is one of the reasons, again, another reason why we might be favourites.
We didn't want Christian Benteke.
No, well, I'd say that they like an awful lot of teams in the Premier League, they left it to the last weekend and the closing hours, really, to do all their business. We did our business early, but then at the end, we've got to make that cut now to 25, so players had to go out, and it was basically, how many are we going to have to lose? And I'm relieved that Jordan Rose didn't go. There were so many rumours linking him leaving. I think Adoma has been a superb player for us over the last few years. And I think back to how many key goals he set up last season from the left and from the right. People criticise his output, because that's often a criticism levelled at wingers, that their final ball. But he's put the ball on. Even the first game of the season against Stoke,
he did well for Bristol City and did well for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, well, it was his centre. Basically, other players are going to have to step up and do that now. And as for Adam Reach, well, having watched him when he made his debut and scored in his debut, always thought he was a player of really real potential. It's £5 million. It's not a small deal. I think Adam Reach will be back playing in the Premier League in a couple of years. I think people might sort of look at him in the way that they've talked about Chris Brunt and said the one that got away. But you've got to cut your team to 25, and he needs to be playing. Regular football. It's a bit disappointing, because I think he's a player of great potential.
Well, one or two challenges, I think, between Albert and Aitor.
Yeah,
we sometimes don't quite see Aitor, but what the heck. Joe, in your observations on the transfer scene, I mean, you didn't really want Paul Pogba, presumably, to actually sort of make his sort of trip to the Riverside.
No, I wouldn't get ahead of Clayton.
There we are, exactly. any thoughts? You feel the squad is pretty much fairly solid now?
Yeah, I think it was a really good transfer business. I think, as Rob said, we got our deals done early. We brought in the big names like Negredo, Valdez, the players that would really improve the squad. And then in the last few weeks, we've kind of filled in the gaps, almost filled in where we need a bit more cover. The likes of Callum Chambers can provide that. So
Fabio,
yeah. So overall, a really good transfer window, and I think we've spent the money wisely. I think we've brought in a lot of players, but we haven't really spent too much money. We've made some quite shrewd signings. You look at people like Barragan in for £3 million, and he looks like he's really settled, really looks like a top Premier League player. So yeah, really happy with the business. Obviously, it's a shame that people like Adoma and Reach had to go, because they were two players that I did really like, and I think had a lot of I think Adoma could have actually made a career out of it in the Premier League, but you know, you have to cut your losses sometimes. We had to cut the squad down to 25 players, and overall I think we've got a good squad to compete this season.
Marie, anything that you disagree with there, or do you think actually
I must admit, I leave all the statistics and the comings and goings to my husband and sons, because they seem to find that fascinating. But
it's a male thing.
Yeah, clearly it is. but I am sad about Adoma, because I thought he played well with Nsui occasionally when they were on the pitch together and passing backwards and forwards, and they were both quick. And so, yeah, you know, he'll be sad to go. He's also one of the few people that I was able to recognise on the pitch from where we sit. Mm-hmm. So now I'll have to nudge my husband more and ask who it is that's got the ball, even more than normal. So.
You didn't say you were a commentator for BBC Teams, so I understand it, you know.
Well, I'm just looking forward to seeing them play together and watching them gel together as a team. And I think it's sad sometimes to lose the ones who've helped you get into the Premiership. But, you know, as the two boys who've already said, you've got to get to that magic number that you're allowed to have, and some people have to go on the back of it. So.
Okay, technically, I suppose there is an argument for saying it's Hull City who are still ahead in the North East, but surely Hull are more Yorkshire as opposed to the North East, I said at the start of the programme.
They're Yorkshire, aren't they?
Well, it's
definitely.
I won't start talking about the Northern Powerhouse, because that'll take us around a very political line, and let's not even go there in the light of recent votes. What we will say is we'll be back in a matter of moments, together with team news for Middlesbrough and a whole heap of other goodies, plus, of course, the opportunity for Joe to read a little sample from Holmes and the Riverside Thriller, Part 2, by, of course, Melvin Small. All this and more on Flying to the Moon, the podcast companion for Crystal Palace.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was the recipe?
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Fly Me to the Moon, taking Borough fans through the Premiership cosmos.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Time at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie. You might want to look at Rufus this week, Bernie. You are featured in the cartoon.
Rufus, eh? We have to say congratulations to Rob Nichols, don't we, Marie?
We do.
Congratulations to Rob Nichols. In fact, don't we, Joe? Let's all collectively... Yeah. Congratulations, Rob Nichols.
What have I done?
He's been running again, has he not, Marie?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I didn't witness it, but I've been told first-hand knowledge he was
very
there.
Very biblical tale to take on that board,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't have to witness to believe.
No, that's exactly right.
This is the whole point. So, yes, and obviously not limping to the studio today.
No.
The 10K was actually sort of through there, and you did it, Rob.
I did, and I'm doing my 250th park run on Saturday, which is tomorrow, for those that are listening to it live or nearly live.
Exactly. Joe, have you ever been sort of attracted to the sport of jogging?
Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, Rob he's a machine. He's a machine. At times reminded of the Carlton Palmer experience.
Carlton
Palmer. Exactly. under a number of managers, but Graham Taylor springs to mind, in which, you know, it's Carlton. Oh, Rob Nichols, but very well. And of course, Marie, your husband as well.
My 15-year-old daughter, and my youngest son. My youngest son did the 3K because he's not old enough to do the 10K.
And the times, do you have to share those?
Yeah, Paul did it in 44 something, and Laura did it in 54 something. I don't know what the seconds were.
Somebody has joined Fly Me to the Moon's fantastic writing team, who is a broadcasting legend. Is he not, Rob?
He's the man behind the scenes. Mm. If you're ever watching Match of the Day, and
no relation to Spike Armstrong, of course. Absolutely. Or David.
Well, we don't know that.
It could be.
If you're ever wondering that what's going on in Gary Lineker's ear when he sometimes refers to
his
earpiece.
So often, exactly.
And he has mentioned before about our editor being a Middlesbrough fan. And of course, he retired not quite recently, Paul Armstrong. It's been a long time since he's been able to witness Match of the Day focusing on a Premiership Middlesbrough side, but he's retired to be, and he's got a season ticket, so he's going to be travelling up for all the matches. And there's an article in the fanzine at which he travelled up a little bit further because he travelled to the stadium flight, but had to go undercover because he couldn't get a seat for the home end. He was in the away end.
There we are. And of course, the classic line, I think about trying to start a Moyes out chant, but decide against it.
Yeah.
Good call, Paul, I think. Good call.
He did say that he was able to join in heartily the boos at half-time.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, we're not here to... I mean, obviously, there's a love supreme for that, really. It's a different fanzine entirely. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in terms of the history of Sunderland. But, Joe, as you are a Sunderland University undergraduate...
Oh, yes, of course.
Or, as I like to refer to it, a Middlesbrough fan on a missionary campaign to convert people. What were your thoughts about the Sunderland results and so on? I know you couldn't get to it, but were you sort of quietly pleased?
Pretty smug, yeah.
In fact, so smug, he's going to deliver a section from Melvin Small's ongoing series, Rob. Just set the scene. What is Holmes and the Riverside Thriller?
Yes, this is a series that's going to go through the season, so that's 10 episodes, and basically at the very start of it, that a body has been found at the Riverside Stadium, and a borough lad, Sherlock Holmes, living in Baker Street, Middlesbrough, is on his way to that match. There's a possibility, if the crime isn't solved within 90 minutes, that game, which is a European game, will be called off, and that'd be a catastrophe. So Holmes sets about trying to solve the mystery.
This is an excerpt from episode 2. Of course, Marie, you're so enthused by this, you subscribe to the magazine.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Exactly. So, Joe, no pressure, but would you like to deliver this little segment from Melvin Small's Holmes and the Riverside Thriller?
Okay. When we reached the manager's office, Holmes slipped into a routine I'd witnessed on many occasions previously. He ghosted around the room, paying periods of fixed attention to the most insignificant of items. For a large part of time, his eyes were closed, his head circling like in a clockwork's loop. At times, he would start perfectly, still expecting the fingers on his right hand, which were drummed into the air on the end of a semi-extended arm. Occasionally, he raised his left hand to rub his temple. His movement was almost balletic in nature, except for those times when he would spin carelessly on his head and assume a different direction.
Extraordinary. Mm. Probably spinning on his heels as opposed to head, but never mind. It's the Joe Nicholson take on the whole sequence. And he was probably sort of thinking about Ito Karanka's touch side antics.
Oh, yeah, Leo Perkovic.
Exactly.
Leo versus against Pardew tomorrow. That could be interesting.
Which is the interesting line? George Friend, Martin Daroon and Victor Valdes are all fit again, as
yeah,
the team
right.
news. So people are listening to the podcast before the game actually starts and kicks off from that perspective. So good news from that perspective. Joe, are you quietly optimistic that Alan Pardew's appalling run of results will continue?
Hopefully. Well, they picked up 1 point in the first three. Mm. So,
and I think actually in 2016 they've only had one win so far.
Yeah,
it goes back. February time, something.
Yeah,
like that.
They slumped down, didn't they? Towards the
if it wasn't for the FA Cup run,
yeah,
he might well have actually been sort of thinking he should never have left Newcastle United. lots of cash on the table from that point of view. Oh, sorry, Mike Ashley, but it's not a good sign to actually work through that if you're trying to get balance together. So, as I say, quietly optimistic, you think the 3 points will be there tomorrow?
Well, hopefully, as I said earlier, we probably go into it as the favourites, but I think the players coming back from injury, I think, will give us a big boost. I think Friend and Valdez will definitely come back into the starting 11. Daroon, I'm not so sure. I think Forshaw's been so good in the last two games, it would be very harsh to drop him. So I think he's got to play probably alongside Clayton. But I think Palace, I think Karanka said it as well, that Palace are probably stronger now than what they were maybe a couple of weeks ago at the start of the season. They've obviously brought in Benteke. They've brought in people like Andros Townsend as well, so who are good players. They've also got players there like Ledley, who was playing at the Euros. So they're not a bad team. I don't think any side in the Premier League are, but the start that Middlesbrough have obviously give them a decent chance. We're good at the back, so probably be another tight game, but I think it will be a different test for us, you know, probably seeing more of the ball, being the home side, having to maybe create our chances rather than hitting teams on the counter-attack. So it'll be an interesting game to see if we can adjust to that, but I think we stand a good chance at home, especially if the Riverside sells out again. So, yeah, look optimistic anyway.
From the commentator's notes on the Match of the Day programme, well, you mentioned it once, that's mentioned it again. Mm-hmm. Though it's foolish to judge anything by just three games, looking back further at the results of the two clubs creates a more illuminating picture. Borough haven't lost since March, while the Eagles have picked up a paltry 12 points this calendar year, winning just two league games in the process.
Wow.
Not that necessarily form can reveal everything, but those statistics look quite good, do they not, Marie?
They do. I think my husband would be quite happy with those statistics, yeah.
Exactly. It's an important point from that point of view. If you are listening to this podcast on the Friday, when it's released to the world, like an animal set free into the wonderful wildness of all sorts of other areas, you might like to attend an event that's taking place this evening at Yarm, featuring legends galore.
Yes, three legends.
Exactly. Share with us, Rob.
Tonight at Yarm Library, which has been reopened after a big renovation this week, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, three Borough writers in Yarm. Harry Pearson, author of The Far Corner and many other books. Daniel Gray, who cut his teeth, really, writing for Flying at the Moon, and then he's gone on to write...
Like Joe Nicholson, really.
Well, that's right, exactly. And Dan's gone on to write several books about football and like Harry, about other things. And then Bob Fisher... We know who's
BBC Tees, general cartoonist extraordinaire.
Well, he used to do the covers, but he's also a sci-fi writer, and he had a book out a while ago, and he's also written quite a lot of stuff for sci-fi magazines and the like.
It's astounding he hasn't taken part in one of these Flight of the Moons, really, Rob. Yeah, given Flying to the Moon, science fiction, and indeed
you share a lot of interests.
Extraordinary. Kjell Morten Hjartøy, somebody sadly who'll be up in heaven FM from that point of view, and you've dedicated the fanzine, and we'll put this podcast as well, to the memory of Kjell Morten Hjartøy. Again, information please, Rob.
Yes, Kjell, and his, well, I think that's how you pronounce it. I've known Kjell and his brother Bjarte. They come from Bergen. I've known them for many years. Bjarte's a Borough fan, Kjell's an Arsenal fan, and they've come across to Britain a lot every few weeks, really, to watch football between Brand Bergen games, and they travel around the country. They've been to all 92 clubs. They're quite sort of famous in Norway for having done that, and they've led the way. Lots of other people come across and do it, but they go to lots of small grounds. They go like see Stockton and Norton Ancients, and they go to Scotland and things. And it's quite interesting when Middlesbrough played Arsenal. Because the two of them don't get on during those games. And Match of the Day 2 once followed them across from Bergen to Middlesbrough, and to the both sat at opposite ends of the ground, and it was a draw, fortunately, which kept the peace. But the three of us went out on New Year's Eve in Middlesbrough together, so it's very sad that he passed away just after coming across for... they both came across... For a couple of weeks ago, Bjarte sat next to me to watch the Middlesbrough versus Stoke, and his brother went to take his season ticket. They both got season ticket at Arsenal to see the Arsenal game, and he died just on his arrival back in Bergen. So we'll be thinking of him tomorrow.
Absolutely. couple of words to begin to conclude. As we mentioned them earlier, expect a bigger challenge against Pardew's Palace and also a strong Spurs side later this month. The thoughts of Neil Garrett. Because I just actually like the line in all sorts of ways, I look forward to our clash with Crystal Palace today. It should certainly be an interesting match. Master Thomas Barkley.
Yes, indeed.
So far, even though we're in the Premiership, we still haven't actually had a mention for Stanistan. Don't worry, we'll put him into next week's, next
yes.
session, which is wonderful. So, how can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
Absolutely. Go on the website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe. That's probably the easiest. Or email me at robshrug@gmail.com. Or the old-fashioned thing is right at Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP.
Splendid. Joe, when was the last time you actually wrote something as a letter or a card or something?
I can't remember.
No, you see, it's a question I put to many of my journalism students, and, what? emails? Very strange from that point.
Answers on a postcard.
Wow.
Used to say, didn't it?
Fantastic stuff. Predictions, Marie, what would you go for tomorrow? Given, of course, you won't be there. So
I don't remind me. I get depressed every time I think about it. 2-1 the Borough.
Uh-huh. Joe?
1-0.
Yeah. I gather that we might have 2 Benteke's for Palace.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Christian and his brother, exactly. Yeah. It could be Benteke squared.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. I will probably sort of say, I think I'll go 2-1 as well to Middlesbrough. Rob?
I'll be more optimistic. I'll go 2-0.
There we are, you see.
We're all going for wins.
Well, a way forward, which will obviously put us, into Europa League positions.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it, eh? All comes round. It's marvellous stuff here. You've been listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion to issue 568 versus Crystal Palace, of course, back in the very near future with, of course, Spurs and more. Rob, I don't think Joe's actually sort of appreciated the final 7 words that we actually use now, because it's no longer come on up the Borough. We've moved into 7 more simple words, but are still vital in their own way. So, to conclude the podcast, a 1, a 2, a 3.
Borough back. Come on, Borough.
That was great, Rob, but it was obviously a solo.
It was solo.
solo routine. Noticeable for the complete silence that we actually had by our twin spear, who felt where they delivered the ball and he put it into the back of the net.
Yeah.
Also, technically, he only said 6 words. He didn't have the Borough back.
Sorry.
It's minor, but, let's try again. A 1, a 2, a 3.
The Borough back. Come on, Borough.
Celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.